do you serve God when you need money? How do you serve God when you don't know where your next meal gonna be? We've been here before? See, the only way I can serve God and I need money is that I have faith. Okay, but that's not enough, preacher. Preacher, you gotta help me a little bit more here, because my belly hungry. You know, you telling me I need faith, but you gotta give me a little something more to hang my hat on. You gotta give me something more to hang my hat on, because right now my kids need to eat. Okay, right now I got some issues that I need some money, so you gotta give me more than by faith. You know, that by faith thing ain't working for me right now because I don't get it. How do I serve God and I need money?
Welcome to this week's episode of I'm Saved Now What, where we're empowering believers to serve Christ. I'm your host, Rob Williams, and this week's episode's title is Transformational Values. And we hope that this episode blesses you. To that end, be sure to visit our website and connect with us via social media to voice your comments and ask your biblical questions regarding the episode. Our website is www.iamsavednowwhat.com. Again, the title of this episode is Transformational Values, and it focuses on Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 24, which reads, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moths nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either they will hate the one and love the other, or else they will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Well, let's get back and hear about transformational values. God bless.
God wants to transform our lives. The Bible tells us in Romans to do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so God wants to transform our lives. God wants to break you out of the confirmation or the box that this world has put you in. God wants to take you from where you are and not take you. I want to say where he wants you to be, but where he wants you to be, you can't even fathom because you're still in the box. God wants to take you out of what the world has tried to push you in the mold of. That word conform there in Romans is in Romans chapter 12 is actually to be pressed into the mold. So this world wants to press you into a cookie cutter mold. The world wants you to do just like the person next to you, because the world makes money off of you doing what you're so quote unquote supposed to do. But God is trying to break you out of a cookie cutter mold. God made you an individual. God made you with a specific purpose in mind. And God is trying to break you out of you being like the person next to you and you actually being like who he called you to be. And so God's trying to do that with all of us. Part of doing that means that he has to change some external things around us, but also he has to change some internal things in us. That's why that particular text says that to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that word transform in Greek is metamorpho. Metamorpho means to be changed. You hear metamorphosis in there? It actually means to be changed from the inside out. So God wants to change you from the inside out. He doesn't just want to change your circumstance. He wants to change you from the inside out. Now, why? Because if he changes your circumstance, Your circumstance will come back to where it is now if he doesn't change you. You know how it is. You take people in the ghetto or the trailer park or wherever it is, and you move them to the suburbs into a nice home, and you give it about 6, 8, 10 months, and now suburbs and nice home become ghetto and trailer park. Why? Because you changed their environment, but you didn't change how they do on the inside. And so we have to understand that God wants to change our lives, but God changing our lives is partially external. He does have to do some things, but first, before we can walk into those things, if we're going to maintain that change, we have to be changed from the inside. So God is more concerned about how you think. God is more concerned about how you feel. God is more concerned about the inward things of you than the external things, because he can change those in the twinkling of an eye. But you'll change it back if your mind isn't changed. You'll change it back if your inside is not right. So what God wants to do is not just change the outside. He wants to change the inside. He wants to change your values. When we talk about values, values are beliefs. Values are beliefs that affect your passion. They're beliefs that affect your perception. And they're beliefs that affect your practices. When we're talking about values, your values are beliefs that are, they're internal to you, and they affect your passion, they affect how you see your perception, and they affect your practices. Because I value looking good, it's going to affect my passion. I'm going to go after things that make me look good. I'm going to spend money on things that I shouldn't spend money on, but it makes me look good. Why? Because that's my passion. Because my passion is women. I'm going to do things to get me women. Why? Because I believe that men should, in my core value, I believe that men should have a whole lot of women after them. Whether that's a good value or not, that's a value that many of us grew up with. So daggone it, I'm going to have me some women. I believe a man should have certain things or look a certain way. So we spend money on things that become our passion. Why are they our passions? Because we value them. Values affect our passion. They also affect our perception. How you think about a thing affects how you see a thing. Like this whole thing regarding gun control. It's a value issue. Some people value the Second Amendment over safety, and therefore they fall on one side. Some people value public safety over the Second Amendment, and they fall on a different side. And I'm not saying which side is the best one, because I'm not here to say all that, but I'm saying it's a value issue. Our values affect how we perceive the world. God wants to change our values. Values affect how we practice. Because I value my children, I make time for my children to work with my children. I make time to do homework. I make time to take them out. Because I value my children, I work hard so I can give my children stuff. Why? Because that's a value of mine. Now, unfortunately, that's not a value of everyone, but that's a value. Your values affect your heart, they affect your eyes, and they affect your hands. They affect your passions, they affect your perception, and they affect your performance, your practice. God wants to give you and I new values. Once we embrace those new values, then we can be changed from the inside out. When you gave your life to Christ, you came into the kingdom with your own raggedy set of values. We grew up with our values of our mamas and daddies, and our mamas and daddies, if they were saved, a lot of them weren't necessarily living all that saved. At least mine necessarily wasn't. And even if they were saved, we grew up with embracing the values of our neighborhoods. We grew up embracing the values of the world. And so when you come into the kingdom, you have a whole lot of values that God is saying, if you don't get rid of that, I can never get you into where I have for you. Because what you'll do is I'll get you in there and then you'll ghettoize it. I'll take you out of the slum so you can make a new slum. And so God is like, let me share with you the values of the kingdom. Let me transform your life by you embracing these new values. That's why I like this particular text. Because in this particular text, it gives us insight to the values that Christ wants to put in us to transform our lives. If we're going to have the values of the kingdom, if we're going to have the values that are going to help transform our lives, the first thing we have to do is redefine our passions. It says in verse 19, do not store up for yourself treasures. Okay, what are treasures? Treasures are things that you cherish, things that you value. What is your treasure? What is your treasure? See, when we came into the kingdom, I don't know about you, but my treasure was getting paid. My treasure was making that money. Why? Because that's what I value. But what's your treasure? How do you store up your treasure? See, Christ is not going to move you to what he has for you until you redefine your treasure. Redefine your passion. What means more to you? You got to say, this is an honest question to yourself. I'm not asking you to answer it out loud, but you got to answer this question to yourself. What means more to you? Disciples or dollars? And if in your mind, you can say to yourself, because I really believe in being honest with yourself, even if you ain't going to be honest with me, be honest with yourself. If what you say, if in your mind you say, no, I want more money than I want disciples, then understand we got a value issue. Oh, we got a value issue. Because God is not going to take you to a place for money. See, a lot of us believe that it's God's job to get us paid. But God did not. See, when we talk about purpose, God's purpose for your life was before you were born. So God didn't sit there before you were born and say, man, I'm going to make this dude a millionaire. Do you think that? But do you think that God set that in eternity past? Okay, Christ, before you were born in your mother's womb, before Adam and Eve fell, Christ had you in mind. Okay, because the Bible says Jesus Christ was slain before the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world. So Christ, God knew Adam and Eve was going to do what he's going to do. And God knew that you were going to need a redeemer. And God knew that he was going to have to send his son so that you can be redeemed. Okay, so God knew who you were, knew what he called you to do before Adam and Eve did their thing. So before Adam and Eve did their thing, did he sit down and say, man, my call for you is to make you a business owner? Now, I don't have a problem with being a business owner. I really don't. You have the ability to do a business, do a business. I ain't got no problem with that, but we can't call that the call of God. No. The call of God is to make disciples. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 19. So if money means more to me than disciples, oh, I'm finally getting this thing. If dollars means more to me than disciples, then if God takes me to where he has for me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pimp it out for money. That's why we have so many, I ain't going to call them preachers, but so many people who pimp people for money in the name of God. And if God brought you to that place, what you would do, because disciples doesn't mean as much to you as dollars, what you would do is pimp it out for dollars. Before we can embrace what God has for our life, the first thing we need to do is assess our values. What do you desire? Do you desire $200,000 or do you desire 20 people coming to Christ? Which is more important to you? Because if you can answer that question is, I want more disciples, what God has a way of doing is then giving you dollars. Oh, I'm finally getting this thing. Because if my desire is for disciples, I understand to make disciples, I do need money.
Right.
I do need to have lights on at the church. I do need to have, I need to travel. I need money to make disciples. Okay. But if my desire is for disciples, when he gives me dollars, because I desire disciples, I'm going to turn those dollars to disciples. But if I desire dollars, I'm going to keep those dollars and make no disciples. So God doesn't have a problem with giving you dollars, but he has a problem with your desire being for dollars over disciples. So God wants to bring you into what he has for you. But the first thing we do is have to reassess our value when it comes to desire. But then it goes on in this particular text, and it says that not only do we have to reassess our desires, we also have to reassess our perception. It tells us that the eye is the light of the body. And what it's really saying is what you're looking at is actually determining what gets in your heart. Oh, I'm coming down the line now. It's saying the reason why you desire dollars over disciples is because you're looking at stuff that makes you want to that makes you desire dollars. You're looking at the wrong things. You're looking at things of the world, and then you're trying to bring it into a Christian context. I want the things of the world, but I'm bringing it into a Christian context. So what I'm saying is I want Christ to give me the things of the world. And Christ ain't trying to give you the things of the world. Christ is trying to give you the things of his kingdom. So you're like, Christ, give me the things of the world. And Christ is like, no. Your desires are off. And your desires are off because your perception is off. Your heart is off because your eyes are looking at the wrong thing. Oh, man. If you embrace this, this is the key to being transformed from the inside out. See, because sometimes we have to sit down and realize there's some things internal to us that ain't right.
That's right.
And those things that are internal to us, if somebody doesn't point them out to us, we're going to keep being wrong, and God is going to keep doing what he does, which is nothing, because you're not in the right place. You haven't embraced his values. And the reason why we haven't embraced his values is because our perception is wrong and our desires are wrong. But then it goes on. I'm almost out your way. It says, not only do you have to redefine or reassess our desires or our passion, not only do we have to reassess our perception, but also we have to recommit in performance. It says no man can serve two masters. That word in serve in Greek is in the active sense. So it says you cannot simultaneously serve God and money. You can't. You may serve God at one time and then turn around and serve money another time and then turn around and serve God, but you can't simultaneously do them both. It says we have to recommit as to who we're going to serve. God wants you to serve him. Now. That sounds simple. You know, God wants me to serve him. And I don't think that was deep. I think everybody sort of realized that, yeah, God wants me to serve him. But How do you serve God when you need money? Oh, now we're going to come down to the come down. How do you serve God when you don't know where your next meal is going to be? We've been here before?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. See, only way I can serve God and I need money is that I have faith. Okay, but that's not enough, preacher. Preacher, you gotta help me a little bit more here because I'm my belly hungry. You know, you telling me I need faith, but you gotta give me a little something more to hang my hat on. You gotta give me something more to hang my hat on because right now my kids need to eat. Okay, right now I got some issues that I need some money, so you got to give me more than by faith. You know, that by faith thing ain't working for me right now because I don't get it. How do I serve God and I need money? Well, this text doesn't just stop there. Oh, man. This text goes on and helps us understand not only does God want to give you and I new values, God has values in and of himself. Oh, man, I'm finna pop, man. I'm finna just blow the heck up. God has values of himself. And the first value is, what is his passion? In the following text that we did not read, it lets you know that his passion is you and me. Is the sparrow trump you? Does the lily in the valleys trump you? So he's saying that the passion that he has is you and I. So God is letting us know that when it comes to values, he values you. He desires you and me. Well, that's okay. That's all well and good, but I'm still hungry. I still need to eat. You ain't answered how I can serve God without money. But we got to go on and continue with the values of God. Not only does God value you and me, in this particular text in verse 32, it tells us that he has a perception. Oh my goodness, he sees. Just like he asking you to see different, he already sees. And he says, what does he see? He sees what you have need of. In verse 32, it says God already knows what you have need of. So now he not only desires you, desires relationship with you, not only does he see your need, then he goes on and he says he provides. Oh my gosh. In verse 33, it says that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he'll add these things to you. So not only is God a person who has desire, and his desire is you. Not only is God is a person who sees or perceives, and he perceives your need, he also is a provider. He provides for what you need. So now how do I serve God with no money? I do it by faith. I believe that God does what he says. Amen. I believe that God is not a liar. I believe that God loves me. I believe that God knows my need, and I believe that God will provide. Why do I believe this? Because he said so. Why do I believe this? Because God is a God of values. So how do I serve God with no money? I just do it. Until we learn how to serve God with no money, you can't serve God. Because if I got to serve God with money, then I go right back to the scripture, you either love God or you love money. If I got to check in with my money to serve God, then God is not God, money's God. So until I can serve God without money, then and only then can he give me money. Why does he give me money? Because I continue to serve him. And what am I doing to serve him? I am making disciples. Oh, man. Oh, man. Isn't it wonderful? It's wonderful. God wants to transform our lives by changing our values from the inside out. So from this point on, you guys, you have to embrace these values. You have to embrace disciples over dollars. You got to embrace that. Christ is saying, once you elevate disciples first, then I can give you dollars because you won't chase dollars. In fact, I won't be able to give you enough dollars because you have more ministry than you have dollars. And so you'll be just funneling money to ministry, and God will say, I'll keep giving it to you as long as you keep giving it to ministry. Amen. As long as discipleship becomes the only thing in your life, I'll keep funneling it through you. Cattle on a Thousand Hills is mine. All silver and gold is mine. I can give it to you. But if I give it to you and dollars is your main thing, you out of there. So on today, fellas, I just want to encourage you to embrace transformational values.
Well, brothers and sisters, that's our time for this week. But make sure you visit us on our website at www.iamsavednowwhat.com. On the website, you can sign up for our free electronic Bible study, and through the social media links on the website, you can ask your biblical question regarding today's message. Also, you can contact us through the website to inquire about having us speak at conferences and seminars in the US and the UK. Again, the website is www.iamsavednowwhat.com. Be blessed.